This program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
The day you made Jesus Lord of your life and you got born again, it impacted your spirit, man. The old you, the old man, passed away. And God, through His grace, created the new creation on the inside of you. How many of you know that each of us have an old man? And that old man was guilty of a whole lot of stuff. That old man, boy, he acted some kind of way. But the day you got born again, you left the old man, and now you are in possession of a new creation that was created in righteousness and true holiness. You are in possession of the new creation. The real you is made in an exact duplicate to God. It is perfect. It is righteous. It is holy. The real you is as holy as you're going to ever get, as righteous as you're going to ever get. But we have to hear that because you don't really know who you are. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that wrong believing is the reason you experience fear? You experience guilt because of it, feelings of shame because of it. For many of you, it's the reason you struggle to overcome certain addictions. But if you're sick and tired of carrying around emotional baggage, today's broadcast, How to Experience Real Transformation, the answer to why you're still sinning, is just for you. Watch this.
I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
Well, if you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. We've been talking about life transformation. You've heard the saying that Jesus will accept you just like you are, and that is absolutely the truth. You come as you are, and Jesus will accept you with all the luggage and all the baggage and all the junk. But you know, His intention is for you to make sure that you're transformed, so you can come as you are, but you won't leave the same way. And so many times, Christians need to understand that there is a transformation that should take place in our lives as Christians. And we won't ever see that transformation until we begin to understand our true identity, until we begin to understand who we really are. You know, right believing is so vital in our lives. When you believe right, you're going to live right. But when you believe wrong, you're going to live wrong. Wrong belief is going to be the reason behind the fear, the addictive behavior, the shame, and all of the struggles that you have in your life. It will come as a result of wrong belief. So you have to ask yourself a question. Whatever it is you're believing, are you believing right or are you believing wrong? Did you pick that up from Grandmama Nim and Pooka Nim and Shaquita Nim way back then? Where'd you get that from? And yet we are obligated to make sure that we rightly divide the word of truth, so that we can understand that through the renewing of our mind, we can prove what is that good and acceptable and that perfect will of God. Well, I want to really get into this. I want to have a little review, and then I want to talk to you about specifically what do we do to see our lives transformed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. Let's read it out loud together. Ready? Read. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things... And behold, the NIV says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. You see, if you're in Christ, the old is gone and the new is here. Say that out loud. The old is gone.
The old is gone.
The new is here.
The new is here.
You are a spirit being. You possess a soul and you live in a physical body. Now, you have heard spirit and soul used interchangeably as if they're the same. They are not the same. You are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a physical body. You see, when you got born again and made Jesus the Lord of your life, it was just your spirit, man, that was impacted by that born again process. Your soul and your body was not impacted by that process. The day you made Jesus Lord of your life and you got born again, it impacted your spirit, man. The old you, the old man, passed away. And God, through His grace, created the new creation on the inside of you. The old you died. The new you, the new creation, was born again. How many of you know that each of us have an old man? And that old man was guilty of a whole lot of stuff. That old man, boy, he acted some kind of way. But the day you got born again, you left the old man, and now you are in possession of a new creation that was created in righteousness and true holiness. You are in possession of the new creation. The real you is made in an exact duplicate to God. It is perfect. It is righteous. It is holy. The real you is as holy as you're going to ever get, as righteous as you're going to ever get. But we have to hear that because you don't really know who you are. You are not your body. You are not your soul. You are your spirit. When you die, you will leave your body behind. That's the house you used to live in. You will leave your body, and to be absent from the body, if you got born again, is to be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to know who you are. And this is the very key to transformation, knowing who you really are. If you keep thinking that you are how you behave, you are how you misbehave, if you keep thinking you are your body, if you keep thinking you are your mind, and you never get to the point of realizing who you really are, you are a spirit being created in righteousness and true holiness. You are a spirit being. I mean, when you leave your body, you're to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. You don't have your body. You're not your body. You're going to leave it behind. But if you got born again, you're going to be present with the Lord, and you're going to see that's the real you. Praise God. And so this is the part that you've really got to get a hold of. I am not my body. Say that. I am not my soul. I am a spirit being. And if you've been born again, praise God, that spirit is not only a new creation, but Ephesians 1 and 13 says it has been sealed with the Holy Ghost. That word sealed is like, the good can't get out and the bad can't get in. Say out loud, I am a spirit being. The real you is a spirit. And sometimes the Bible talks about the real you, and because we don't know who we are, we somehow imply he must be referring to my body. He must be referring to my mind. You've got to know the real you. You've got to know that you are a spirit being. That's where all of this transformation starts, with you knowing who you really are. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a spirit being.
You are a spirit being.
A new creation. Amen. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, and let's go ahead and answer that question a little quickly today. Well, if I am, hold on a minute. Let me see. For the benefit of those of you who hadn't heard this before, I need to show you some scripture, because you might be sitting up here thinking, yeah, whatever he just said. Yeah, that's not the real me. Well, who is it then? You got to know who you are. Let's look at these four scriptures real quick. Ephesians chapter 4:24. Now, this is talking about your spirit. You are a spirit being. Your spirit. Ephesians 4:24 says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When did you put the new man on? The day you got born again. You put on the new man the day you got born again. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. And Ephesians 1:13 begins to show us that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 13 says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When were you sealed? After you believed. After you were created new, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Check this out. You are sealed with perfection. You are concerned about whether or not you're going to go to heaven or not. You already got some heaven in you. A third of you is flawless. A third of you is perfect. A third of you is just like God. Glory be to God. And that's your spirit. Amen. All right. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. Now, look at this. So now that you're born again, when you're born again, you were created in righteousness and true holiness. You're created in Christ. You are in Christ Jesus. Everyone that's born again, say this out loud. I am in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Well, listen to this. To the General Assembly and to the Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. The spirits of just men made perfect. Now, the question is, how was I made perfect? Well, Colossians chapter 1, 28. Flip over there. Colossians chapter 1, 28. The spirit of just men made perfect. Well, when was I made perfect? How was I made perfect? The Bible says your spirit, if you're born again, has been made perfect in Christ Jesus. Now look at Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, how? In Christ Jesus. See, you can't say you're perfect in yourselves, but you can say you're perfect in Christ Jesus. Say out loud, I'm perfect in Christ Jesus. Boy, doesn't it good to say that? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm perfect in Christ Jesus. Turn to the other side and say, I'm perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, my question is, do you believe that? Don't answer me yet. Do you believe that you, the real you, is perfect in Christ Jesus? Or if every time we say that, you think, now, hold on, wait a minute. Look at what I did yesterday. Look at what happened last week. No, 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 you got to get rid of it. You got to believe, first of all, your identity in Christ is perfect. It's holy. Is righteous. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and 9. 1 John 3 and 9. You're perfect in Christ Jesus. I tell you, the number of Christians that are struggling trying to get transformation to take place in their life because they don't know who they are. They're trying to get something to happen that's already happened. Right. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. Whosoever is born of God. Now pause for a moment. I know you're born again, but what part of you got born again? Your spirit, soul, or your body? So he is talking about your spirit here, right? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. He says your spirit, man, that is sealed with the Holy Spirit, that is made in the image of God, does not commit sin. So we read the scripture like this. Whosoever is born again does not commit sinning. And so all your life, you put pressure on yourself because you say, wait a minute, I'm born again, but I'm still sinning. And that's not what he's talking about. Whosoever is born of God, that's your spirit, does not commit sin. Your born again, perfect spirit, sealed with the Holy Ghost, does not commit sin. Why? For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Your born again spirit cannot sin because it's born of God. Now, you know it's not talking about your mind. And you know, it's not talking about your body. I don't know who you cussed out on your way here. Not justifying that, but your spirit didn't participate. Your spirit is sealed away from all that. Your spirit doesn't have any part of your crazy mind or your stupid body actions and what you do. Your spirit ain't got no part of that. Your spirit is now the new root that's trying to line your mind and your body up with it. And it's having a hard time doing that because you won't believe who you really are. You keep thinking you're that mind, and you keep thinking you're that body, instead of you thinking, I am that born-again spirit sealed with God, sealed in perfection. The bad can't get in, and the good can't get out. That's who I am. Some of you are still struggling. Are you sure that's who I am? Yes. If you've been born again. Well, what if you hadn't been born again? Who are you? A child of the devil. If you haven't been born again, you're a child of the devil because you still have that old nature, that old man, that sin nature that programmed your mind to sin, that made your body carry out the action. Now, one more scripture and we'll continue today. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You don't have to go there, but write this down. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 and 2. In Acts chapter 8, 1 and 3, I'm comparing in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, you see the apostle Paul saying, I have wronged no man, I have offended no man. And then in Acts chapter 8, you see Saul, who was Paul, but it was Saul before he got born again. And you see Saul responsible for persecuting everybody in the church there, even consenting to the stoning of a deacon, okay? So how can Saul and Paul are the same person, right? How can Paul say, I have wronged no man, when you go over in the book of Acts and you see him persecuting people? Well, the reason why he can say that is because Saul was the old man. Paul is the new creation man. And Paul had nothing to do with Saul. Why? Because a baby has no past. When a baby is born in the world, a baby has no past. And so likewise, when you get born again, you have no past. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, the new creation has no past. That's deep, ain't it? It's the truth, though. This is what I got to get you to. I got to convince you today that when you got saved, you have no past. Your past started the day you got born again. All the stuff you did before you got born again, that left with the old man. That was the Saul that did all that, not the Paul. Say out loud, I have no past since I've been born again. You have no past. So when you get people coming to you talking about, yeah, you remember what you used to do? Say, no, that ain't me. That's not me no more. I'm like a baby that's born in the world with no past. Now, here's what you got to get a hold of. The sinner is dead. And we are truly brand new creations. The sinner is dead. And we are truly brand new creations. Now, the religion says it like this. Well, we ain't nothing but sinners saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Well, which one are you? No, you are saved by grace. Therefore, you're no longer a sinner. Now, for those of you who are born again, say out loud, I am not a sinner.
I am no longer a sinner.
Sinner no more. I am born again. New creation. New species of being. That's never existed before. That's who I am. Now, Satan's job is to use your misbehaving to contradict your new identity. So when you misbehave, Satan wants to translate that through your mind to say, see, you're still a sinner because you're still sinning. Is that right? Oh, you're thinking, just come on. It's a big elephant in the room. It's like, I'm telling you, you're perfect. You sin, I'm like, you must not know me. Because you think you are a sinner still because you have sinning in your life. Isn't that right? All right, let me ask you a question. You are a Christian. Why? Because you have Christ living on the inside of you. You are a Christian. Why? Because the new nature lives on the inside of you. You are a Christian because Christ lives in you. So what makes a Christian? Going to church? Christian behavior? Hallelujah 12 times a day? Being nice and sweet? Does that make you a Christian? No. What makes you a Christian is who? Okay. All right. Remember what you just said. So what makes you a sinner? Sinning? See, you pause. You know why? Because the real answer you wanted to give me was yes. Because we have been trained by the church that sinning is the reason for you being a sinner. You are a sinner the same reason you were a Christian. You are a sinner based on who was living in you. Sin nature was living in you. The old man was living in you. Oh, my goodness. That doesn't live in you no more. You were a sinner because you had the nature of sin in you. But the day you got born again, sin nature left. The new creation came in, so you can't still be a sinner because you don't have what makes a sinner. If you take the root out of an apple tree, you are no longer an apple tree. Because it's the root that makes the tree the tree. You can take a mule and treat him like a racehorse. Feed him like a racehorse. Groom him like a racehorse. But when you take him to the track, he gonna still be a mule. Are you listening to me? See, that's what some Christians have tried to do. They never got born again, but they came to church and they learned how to act like a Christian. thank you. I ain't even saved. Hallelujah. I ain't even saved. In the choir. I ain't even saved. See, that's a mule trying to act like a racehorse. But that's not you. You've been born again. You just need to know who you are. You are that racehorse. You are that new creation. You just got to realize who you are, praise God. Amen. So look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 23. Now, it's going to get real radical. Somebody says, man, why don't you come on and just hoop a little bit and holler? We ain't got time for that. You got to learn something. You got to learn something. Before you go to 1 Thessalonians, go to Romans chapter 6. Let me show you why you got to learn something. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. See, you have to learn something. So the question, I have to ask this question over and over again because it hadn't been answered enough, is if I am perfect, if I'm a new creation, if I am a Christian, and if sinning doesn't make you a sinner, then why am I sinning? Okay, well, Romans 6 and 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Notice what he says in verse 6. He refers to the old man. He refers to the body of sin, and then he refers to sin. Now, this is how we've been reading it. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sinning, or that we should no longer sin action no more. The problem with this is that word sin, the last word in that verse, is a noun, not a verb. That's a person, place, or thing. That's very significant in our understanding. See, what he said was the old man is crucified with him, the old man. And then he said that the body of sin, and then he says that we henceforth should not serve what? The old man, the body of sin, sin, the noun. What he was talking about is that because the old man, which is sin, was crucified with him, and because the body of sin, which is sin, was destroyed, then you no longer have to serve that person anymore. Amen. Mm-hmm. Why don't you have to serve that person of sin anymore? Because it's dead. It's not there no more. If I had a dollar, I'd give it to you. That was the right answer. It's dead. You don't have to serve the old man because the old man is gone. You don't have to serve the body of sin because the body of sin is gone. You don't have to serve sin because that sin now, when he says sin, it's the body of sin, the old man. So I could read it like this. Henceforth, we should not serve the old man. Henceforth, we should not have to serve the body of sin. You don't have to serve the body of sin. You don't have to serve that root because it's gone. It's gone. You don't have to serve him. You're free. You've been emancipated. You've been set free from the old man. He's not there no more. You're not in bondage to him anymore. You don't have to sin no more because he gone. He has passed away. He ain't coming back no more. Glory. What you have is new creation sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. The old man ain't coming back no more. Glory be to God. I know that freaks some of you out, but you are forever, totally, eternally redeemed from that old man. He ain't coming back no more. He's not coming back no more. Your spirit is born again, which means you are heaven ready. Say, I'm heaven ready. Now, some of you are going to be so shocked because you're trying to judge whether or not folks going to be in heaven based on their behavior. And people don't go to heaven based on their behavior. They go to heaven based on their decision.